Thank you. You can be seated. That ought to be more than a song to us. It ought to be a daily part of our lives. Amen? Giving thanks to the Lord's not a suggestion. I believe it's a command. If you can suck in and blow out, you ought to thank God. Amen? Psalms 127 this morning. Psalms 127. We started last Sunday preaching a series on the home. I believe that is one of the most needful things in our nation. The devil has climbed the walls. He's crossed the property line. He's not just in the yard anymore. He's in the house. And he's ripping our homes apart. Our church is only as strong as the homes that make it up. Would you agree? Amen. I want to see strong Christian homes. I want to see young couples get married and stay that way. Yes. Amen. Amen. Everything society is telling them, if it don't work out, get a divorce, find you another one. And listen, I know there are divorced people in here and I'm not beating you up, but that is not God's original intent. When God made Adam, how many women did he make him?
One.
He didn't say, here's you a few. Try them, see which one you like the best. All right, it's not a car lot. Somebody help me now. We started preaching last Sunday out of Psalms chapter 127, and we started with the construction of the home. Verse number 1, the Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house. Y'all getting that, right? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. You ain't got sense enough to build a home. And I'm not talking about a physical structure. I'm talking about a relationship between husband and wife and parents and children. Amen. If left to ourselves, we will self-destruct. Amen. We need God to build our homes. The Philippian jailer got saved. He said, men and sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. If the leaders of the home will get it right, the children will follow. Amen. We started talking last Sunday about the construction of the home. God must be the builder of the home. Are y'all in Psalms 127?
Yes.
Now, this morning we're going to talk about the conservation of the home. The conservation of the home. Next week we're going to talk about the contentment in the home. There's a lot of homes that ain't happy homes. Amen? A lot of people's got doormats that say home sweet home. That's a lie.
Yeah.
It's held by the half acres through that front door. Amen. You come to church and you fake it. You put your smile on. You shake the preacher's hand. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Day and I'm supposed to be sweet, but I'm just talking about reality. I'm being honest. I've been in some of your homes and heard you yell at one another. With the if you do that while the preacher's there, oh God, for sake, what do you do when I'm not there? Amen. We'll talk about the contentment of the home, and then on the fourth Sunday, which will be, two Sundays from now, we're going to talk about the children of the home. The children of the home. We're living in a day when they're pushed aside. They're left to a video game to raise them. Amen? And I'm going to take up for them. Everybody points at the teenagers at the mall and says, look at them freaks. No, go slap a parent. With a smile on my face, I said that, and love in my heart. Amen. And we're going to talk about the children. And on that Sunday, that's two Sundays from now, at the close of that service, we're going to have a baby dedication. So if you have a child and you would like to have that baby dedicated, listen, this is not a Catholic church. We're not sprinkling them. Has nothing to do with their salvation. It's you taking what God is giving you and presenting it and dedicating it back to God.
Amen.
And we'll do that on the two Sundays from now. Miss King, that's our secretary. Raise your hand. See her and let her know. Just she'll hang around right there when church is over. Let her know if you need to be involved in that. Okay? Now, Psalms 127. I'm going to read the whole thing. Get you out of here as quick as I can. But I'm not going to trim the message this morning. Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. He said, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I want you to look back with me at verse number 1. We focused on the first part of that verse last Sunday. We're going to focus on the second part of the verse this Sunday. The first part of the verse said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In other words, we've got our construction manager. We know who it is. It's the Lord. We need to depend on the Lord to put our families together, hold our relationships together. You say, well, isn't just loving each other enough? You can't even love each other right without Him. Do you understand that? Love without God is a false love. Amen. We need the Lord to make that love for each other right. It's the love of God in our heart and the grace of God in our lives that causes us to put up with each other. If it wasn't for the grace of God, some of you would have killed your husbands long ago. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone. I was going to say something about the women. It is Pastor Appreciation Day. I'm going to be sweet. Amen. I want you to notice the second part of the verse. He said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. What is a city? What is a city? It's people. It's a conglomeration of homes. What makes up a city is the people who live in it. It's kind of like a church. What is the church? It's a collection of homes. There are homes represented. Every one of you represent a home. Even if you live in a box, that's your home. Amen? Yeah. We all represent a home. Every single one of us, that's what we're made up of, is homes. Brother Tony Shirley preached a message here in camp meeting one year and said the title of his message was, What's the Story at Your House? Y'all remember that? What a message, man. I'll never forget it. What's the story at your house? Every home has a story behind it. Yeah, that's right. Many today, sadly so, it's a heartbreaking story. If it were put on television, it would be a drama. If it was found in the movie section, that's where you would look, is in a drama. Some of them that I've noticed today would be found in the comedy section. Seriously. Some of these relationships, and I'm not preaching outside these walls this morning, I'm talking to us. Some of these relationships and the way we approach them is a joke. Some relationships may be categorized in the horror section. Amen. I've dealt with couples right back there in my office where the husband has hit the wife. Our families shouldn't live in fear. Home should be a haven. Do you understand that? Sir, I believe in old time way of handling things. I believe it'd be all right if we found out you smacking your wife around if we had a group of men come see you. Amen. Have a little fellowship out in your backyard. Amen. Kick you around for a little bit. Amen? Yeah. I got some men to do it. All I'd have to do is say, go visit them in a serious manner. Amen? Yeah. They'd handle you in a heartbeat. Yeah. You might be tough enough to whoop up on your wife, but you ain't tough enough to whoop up on Jason Crow. Yeah. Y'all okay? It's just the introduction, amen. I'm talking about our homes, man. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. I'm preaching to troubled people this morning, and my heart's desire is to help you. I would love for my office just to gather dust.
That's right.
I'd love for the chairs across from my desk to dry rot because they're never used. Pastors today have to spend more time focusing on their talents as a counselor than they do their talents as a preacher. 9 times out of 10, if you'll take heed to the preaching, you won't need the counseling. Amen. But you come in church and you sit there with a fake smile and act like nothing's wrong, let it go in one ear and out the other, and go right back to the hell at the house. I'm hoping over the next couple of weeks we change some things in some homes. Amen? You say, are you pointing at anybody individually? Yeah, all of us. Amen. He said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, he's talking about the city. The city is a collection of homes. And here he said, God is not only the one that must build it, but God is the one that must protect it.
Amen.
Amen. Without God being the center of our home, we are leaving the door open and inviting the enemy to come in. Amen. I heard one preacher say one time years ago, and I thought it was good, so I'm going to say it this morning. It's not original by any means. But he asked the question while he was preaching. He said, would you allow a couple to come in your house that knocked on your door and said, excuse me, we don't have a place to go. Can we make love on your sofa in front of your children? He said, nobody would say yes to that. He said, but yet you do it when you turn the TV on. Ow. Ow. That's pretty graphic, I know, but it's where we live. It's reality. Listen, our security system shouldn't be just ADT. Our security system ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We not only have security for our salvation, but we have security for our lives if we'll use it. Amen. I believe you could divorce-proof your marriage if you'd give God his rightful place in your heart. And listen, this is a team effort. It's not just the husband being right with God, and it's not just the wife being right with God. It takes two to tango. Man, you get a husband who's really right with God and a wife who's really right with God, brother, there's harmony in that house. Amen. You get a husband who prays for his wife and a wife who prays for her husband, I'm telling you, there's something sweet there. Y'all listening to me this morning? The conservation of the home, the protection of the home. Why does the home need such protection? Why does there need to be a watchman? Why did Ezekiel say there ought to be a watchman on the wall? Why has somebody got to be looking out all the time? When you think about the phrase watchman or the duty of a watchman, it means somebody is standing guard at all times. Who's standing guard at your house? Who's standing guard at your house? Who's on duty right now? Who'll be on duty when you go home tonight? Who'll be on duty? Hey, who's on duty when you're away and the kids are there by themselves?
Come on, preacher.
Who's on duty? Brother Greg Nix spent his life in the military, and he's retired now, but every military base, it doesn't matter what time of day or night you drive up to that base, you're greeted by a guard. Is that right? 24 hours a day, there's a guard. And buddy, they in big time trouble if they go to sleep on duty. Amen? He's got to be watching at all time. Halt! Who goes there? He checks everybody who enters the gate. He checks every ID. He knows the business of everybody who comes through. Why? Because the enemy would love to get in. The enemy would love to get in and break down our defenses. Do y'all understand we have a real enemy? The Bible said in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against rulers of darkness in high places. Spiritual wickedness, friend, that's what we're battling today. Amen. The devil is good. I mean, he's real good. All you got to do is go to Dallas or Carrollton to the courthouse tomorrow morning and count how many people are there for a divorce. It'll blow your mind. What happened? You say, yeah, but that's the world. No, it's the church too. It's the church too. I used to, when I first started preaching and I first started marrying people, I took pride in that all the people I had married, none, they had all made it. Well, I'd shot that a long time ago. They hadn't all made it. I've been pastoring 19 years and too heavy a percentage of that crowd that I've married in 19 years are no longer together. You say, well, you didn't do a good job putting them together. Oh, yeah, I did. They didn't do a good job of keeping it together. Amen. Some of y'all ought to repeat them marriage vows every day. I got some points, but I may never get to them. I said, you ought to repeat them marriage vows every day. Oh, Brother J.M., if you ever wonder who the painting is in the vestibule, that's Brother J.M. Brooks. He was the pastor here for 23 years, I believe, 23 years before me. Brother J.M. was my wife's uncle, and he married us. Never forget that day as long as I live. I was so nervous. He kept me in the back room waiting to go in, you know, and was telling me the dumbest jokes I ever heard in my life. And then we got out there and he started performing the wedding, and he got down to that part where it says, until death do you part. But Brother J.M. didn't just leave it at that. You had to know Brother J.M. Brother J.M. stuck that big old fat finger right down in my face. He said, until death. He said, I said, until death, until death, until death, until death do you part. I thought, oh, I got it.
Amen.
Yes, sir, Doc, I got it. Until death do we part. We ought to repeat that thing to one another for better, for worse, for sickness and health, for in poverty and in wealth. Amen. Some of y'all ought to focus on staying together. What does it take? Just keep the enemy out. Just keep the enemy out. I thought about of all the enemies of the home, all the enemies of marriage. And what I did, I tried to, there's so many. And there's really just a few categories, and all the rest of them fall under those categories. And I started thinking about all of them this week, and I thought, man, I cannot preach on every enemy of the home. That'd be a six-month series, amen? But I started thinking back over the years in the counseling in my office, and I thought I'd just deal with the three that I most deal with, the three enemies of the home. Now, y'all buckle your seatbelt. Some of you ain't going to like this. But one of the number one enemies of the home is the sin or the enemy of sexual sin. The enemy of sexual sin. Y'all okay? I remember when you wouldn't even hear the word sex on television. If they said that word sex on television, buddy, it was like, oh, I can't believe they said that. Now it's the subject of television. Are y'all all right? Man, some of those sitcoms and some of that garbage on TV, that's all it's about. Amen. Reality shows about sex.
Amen.
They got one show. I've just seen the commercials, never watched it. The commercials make me want to gag.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bachelor. They got one guy and a horde of women, and he tries out all these women and picks one in the end. How sick is that, man?
Yeah.
And some of you kooks watch that mess.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what that is? It's sexual perversion. Y'all don't get mad at me. Help me. You know I'm right. It's sexual perversion. Premarital sex on the television now is the norm. We've got shows like Glee. And you let your kids watch it where boys kiss each other. And girls make out. I'm just telling the truth. The enemy of sexual sin. Listen, there needs to be some guardrails set up in our marriages. Amen? Listen, I believe this world is preaching free love. There's no such thing as free love. Some people say they have an open marriage. That's a bunch of garbage. If you would stand there and allow another man to be with your wife, you're sick, dude. Amen. There's no such thing as free love. Love cost.
Amen.
You don't believe love has a high price, visit Calvary.
Yeah.
Amen. We still doing okay this morning?
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 14. I believe the Ten Commandments are still Ten Commandments.
Amen.
Y'all all right? I said it again. I believe the Ten Commandments are still Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Why are they fighting to get them taken out of the courthouses and off the courthouse walls and out of the school system? Why? Because everything our society is teaching, the Ten Commandments stomps it in the face. Exodus 20:14 still says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery in the 1 Corinthians, that's the only sin mentioned that is to do with your body. It said you sin against your own body.
Yes, sir.
We all right?
Yes, sir.
Listen, sounds to me like there's something to fight. Thou shalt not. Sounds to me in 1 Corinthians 6:18 like there's something to flee. He said, flee fornication.
Yes,
what is fornication? It's sexual sin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I just make it real simple? Be faithful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Be faithful.
Amen.
The second point in this message I'll get to in a second, but it's going to show you the reason for the first point. No telling at the marriages in this room that have battled the very thing I'm talking about right now.
That's right.
Amen. There is one thing that we all have the ability to do, and that's be faithful.
Amen.
You may not be able to make $1 million and run a big corporation, but you can be faithful to your wife. Ladies, you can be faithful to your husband. Yeah, but my husband doesn't show me the attention I need. That's no excuse for infidelity. That's no excuse. That means your home needs work. It means you may need some help in that area. But listen to me, that is no excuse. Something's wrong when you dress up nicer for your boss at work, ladies, than you do your husband at home. We okay? And you go to work with your boss, and he starts noticing how pretty you are. And he starts commenting on how nice you look. And you're not used to getting that at home because you don't dress like that at home. You remember when you were dating? Remember how much time you spent getting ready before he showed up to get you? Well, if it took that to get him, what's it going to take to keep him? Are y'all all right? My marriage is worth fighting for. We've been married 28 years come December. 29 years come December. I don't know why I keep getting that wrong. 29 years come December. I said 30-something years last week. When you get above 45, it just all runs together. Amen. Somebody help me right there. We've been married going on 29 years. Listen, I still don't like it when men look at my wife. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all, come on, men.
Amen.
God put something inside a man. What? To protect that relationship. You ought to get a little bulldog about you every now and then. Don't think just because you still got her, you always will have. Amen. Fight for your home. Fight for your marriage. Flee fornication. Put some guardrails in your life.
Amen.
Did you know that the majority today of adulterous affairs start with text messaging? Did you know that? I used to say I never have a woman's phone number in my phone. If I said that now, it'd be a lie. There's some ladies who hold leadership positions in our church. I do not discuss anything with them that is not to do with what's going on here. Sister Sheila texted me yesterday and said, are CDs available for Ladies' Day? I text her back, yes.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
You have no business having a conversation with my wife on her text message.
That's right.
Amen. I've had to deal with it in our church where it started on text messaging between two church members. Stop! Are y'all okay? Are you getting this? Don't do it. Well, it's just a text message. What harm can that be? That's where it starts.
Amen.
It's just an email. That's where it starts.
Amen.
If I'm out of town and you call my house and I'm not there, you have no business having a lengthy conversation with my wife.
Amen.
Vice versa. I don't call yours. You don't call mine. What I'm talking about is protecting my home.
Yes.
Protecting the relationship between me and my wife.
Amen.
Just because we've been married 29 years don't mean we're above mistake. Doesn't mean we're above failures.
Amen.
Set some guardrails for yourself, man. Listen, men, if a lady texts you and that text makes you feel uncomfortable, it's not work-related, it's not business-related, it's personal. You need to text them back and say, stop now.
Yeah.
Same for you, ladies. Stop now.
Amen.
We had two couples in our church. I'm going to be careful. We had two couples in our church. It was an all-out, almost brawl in my office. You know what it was? Text message. That's all it ever was text message, as far as I know. But it was enough to almost bust up two homes. And if you think you are above that, you got grits for brains. Are y'all okay? I'm telling you how to guard against your home. Watch your cell phone, watch your internet, your email, chat rooms, Facebook. Amen. I can't see why a man would need a Facebook anyway. I don't know, it just sounds like a girl thing to me. I was in my chat room today. You better set some guardrails for yourself, sir. Now you got an excuse. You're away from your home and family. I could see the red in your face. You got a Facebook. He's in the military. That's his contact with his family. That's okay, bro. Amen. Listen, there's so much information out there. You find out things about people you don't need to know.
Amen.
If there's a loose woman in this church, I don't want to know that. Are we okay? Set some guardrails for your marriage. Watch that stuff. I mean, watch that stuff. Listen to your spouse. Listen to your spouse. I learned a few years ago that God gave women an instinct that we don't have. Used to, when my wife said, "You better watch out for," I thought, "You're crazy. You out of your mind." I'd tell her that. You've lost it. Sure enough, she'd nail it down every time. She said, "You watch that guy. He's a pervert." She made that very statement about a certain individual. That's tempting to call his name, but I ain't. And I thought she's lost her mind. But something clicked in here and said, she's been right all them other times.
That's right.
I was fixing to hire the guy. I was fixing to put him to work here with our children. Another guy hired him instead of me because she said he's a pervert. That looks pretty bad on the resume, don't it? 6 weeks later, he is having an affair with a parent of a student in that other church. She hit the nail on the head. Listen to your spouse. Amen. Amen. Protect your home. Watch those conversations. Men, ladies, both, don't allow yourself to be alone. I know this is simple stuff and you all know it, but you don't all practice it. Amen. Brother Freddie's got 6 children. If I go to his house and to see him and he's not there, I'm not going in the house.
That's right. Amen.
Do you understand what I said? I'm not going in the house.
That's right.
I knew a preacher back several years ago, well, not several years ago, a long time ago when we were still at White Oak. He carried a bag of groceries to a needy family. Went in, set the groceries on the kitchen table and left, and the lady accused him of making moves at her. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it was only him and her there. If he is totally innocent, you know what people are going to believe? They're going to believe the juicy stuff. Amen. The Bible said flee fornication. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Set some guardrails. Don't allow yourself. Listen, ladies, don't get your feelings hurt when you ask me for a counseling appointment and I tell you I have to have my wife. Because I will not talk to you without her or another lady present. Y'all all right? Preachers do that all the time, man. They go in their office and shut the door with another man's wife. They're idiots. Y'all okay? Protect your home. Protect, guard yourself from these sins of sexuality.
Amen.
The enemy of sexual sin. Guard your home from that. I can tell you how you can do it. Can we just get plain? Make sure that aspect of your life is okay at the house. I know it's plain. I know it's blunt, and some of you are about to gag. Go home, throw your TV out in the yard. If you can't handle this from the pulpit, I'm trying to protect some homes. Take your wife on a date, sir. Hold her hand when you walk through Walmart. Smooch on her. Amen. Rub her shoulders. Rub her feet. Pamper her. Somebody help me, ladies. Come on. Buy her perfume. My wife is a lotion freak. You got any of them in here? She's a lotion freak. I know what kind of lotion she buys. Hey, it doesn't embarrass me to be caught in a women's store. I was standing there in the mall one day and had my big old pink bag. And I heard this little voice, Brother Eddie. It's lotion. Just so we know real fast, it's lotion. I love my wife, and I love the way this makes her smell, amen? They ought to start having camouflage bags over there, amen? Pamper your wife a little bit. Love on her. Somebody, they've always said, if you don't, somebody else will. You say, oh, no, not my wife. Yeah, dude. Y'all better get a grip. I'm talking about the enemies I deal with that come at our homes. Number one, the enemy of sexual sin.
That's right.
And I wish it was just men in here. Boy, y'all got quiet. I'm going to be careful. The enemy of sexual sin. Guard yourself against it. Guard yourself. Set up some boundaries. Not only guard yourself against it, but make sure it's right at home. Amen. Show your wife. Women, show your husband. Hey, he likes attention too. Amen. I ought to get Brother Tom Williams to come down here and preach on this stuff for a week or two. Y'all couldn't handle it, I promise you. The enemy of sexual sin. Number two. This is the reason for number one. The enemy of selfishness. The enemy of selfishness. Y'all listen to me? Go to Romans chapter number 12. I know what time it is. I do. And honest, I don't care. Romans chapter number 12. I think this stuff's important. Yes, sir. Romans chapter number 12. Look with me at verse number 10. Romans 12 and verse number 10. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate. Do y'all understand what that word means? Yeah. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Watch this. What's the last part of this verse? In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. You know what that means? That means to put the other above your own self. In other words, in this relationship, she's more important to me in this relationship than I am in this relationship. And when she puts that same emphasis on the marriage that I put on the marriage, then I'm more important than she is in the relationship. That's how God designed this thing. Some of you men, you just swallow real hard. I promise this will go down. Well, I'm her servant. And she's mine. What does a servant do? It serves the needs of another. Absolutely. Bless God, I ain't coming back to this church. Yeah, you chauvinist pig. You're going to wind up without your wife too. Amen. I'm her servant. And she's mine. I don't call her servant. Good. Not where she can hear it anyway, amen. And she don't call me servant. But half the problems that I deal with is selfishness. I guarantee you, if I have a marriage counseling appointment tonight that are having trouble in the marriage, they'll sit across from my desk, and here's what I hear. This is not the actual words they say, but this is what I hear. They sound like Charlie Brown's school teacher half the time. Wah, 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 wah. And I interpret that me, 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 me. The wife comes in, points out his problem. The husband comes in, points out her problem. Very seldom do they come in and the husband say, I have this problem. Very seldom do they come in and the wife say, I have this problem. Amen. I'm telling you, 98% of the time, it is the wife telling me what's wrong with the husband and the husband telling me what's wrong with the wife. Amen. My job is not to fix my wife. Your job is not to fix your husband. Amen. My job is to fix me.
Amen.
Your job is to fix you. And I still ain't fixed. Somebody help me right there.
Amen.
My favorite songs, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be.
Amen.
Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, all that stuff. Jupiter and Mars, how patient and loving he must be because he's still working on me.
Amen.
Selfishness. Selfishness. You cheat on your wife, sir, you're selfish.
Amen.
You know what you're screaming? You love your flesh more than you love your own children. Same goes for you, ladies. That always get pointed at the men, but it happens on the other end too.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
It's selfishness.
Amen.
It's selfishness.
Right.
All you want to do is please that flesh.
Amen.
Why don't you, before you do it, why don't you ask your kids what they think about it?
Yeah.
Not everything I do, I ask my wife what she thinks about it before I do it. When I bought my boat, I called her. I said, hey, Brother BJ just offered me this boat for this amazing price. What do you think? She said, go get it. She didn't even hesitate. I called BJ. I said, you home? I run stuff by her. Why don't you run that by her?
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I'm thinking about this lady at work. She looks real nice and y'all get it. Stay with me. I don't want a divorce or nothing.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it'd be all right with you if we went out.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Get your son and say, son, listen here. How would you feel if daddy had an affair? Ladies, I want you to ask your daughter. But you think it'd be okay if mama cheated on daddy? Selfishness.
Amen.
Selfishness. Quit making the thing all about you. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. He's not meeting my needs. It's not your job to worry about what he's not doing. Your job is to meet your spouse's needs. My job is to meet her needs. And if you pull her aside and ask her privately and I give her 100% permission to be perfectly honest, I do my best to meet her needs. All of them. She's doing homework the other night, last night. She sat there and stared at that computer screen forever. You know how that makes you? I just quit what I was doing. I went in there and massaged her shoulders while she's looking. Well, I'm meeting her need. When I meet her need, guess what she does? Are y'all getting it? When I meet her need, she meets my need. These are the top two I deal with. I'll be honest with you. It's not abuse. It's these things that I deal with more than any other thing. The enemy of sexual sin and the enemy of selfishness. I want to look across my desk a great percentage of the time and say, cry, baby. Quit your whining. Go home and fix it.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, people never got counseling. My wife and I were newlyweds, had brand new little baby. We didn't have a clue what we were doing. Never did we say, Brother Earl, can we have some counseling? He had probably said no, but... No, Brother Earl probably said, go talk to your mama. I'm not saying that I won't help you when I can. But you don't need me. You need the Lord to build the house. And you need the Lord to protect the house. You set some guardrails up for your marriage, you can avoid a lot of these problems. Amen. Amen. When I go out of town and preach, and I travel a lot, I'm away from my wife. You know what I do? Especially if it's a place I've never been. For the first 10 minutes of my first night to preach, I'm talking about how hot my wife is. And how I already miss her. And can't wait. What am I doing? I'm putting a message out there. This ain't just for show. I love my wife.
Amen.
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 I'm irresistible. I mean, I set some guardrails up there. Amen. I don't counsel other preachers' people. Mm-mm, not for a second. They try to drag me off the side everywhere. I go, no. Sorry. God gave you a preacher. I'm evangelist this week. Amen. Listen, the enemy of sexual sin, the enemy of selfishness. I promise you, probably in every home in this place, there is a little bit of that going on. If you really think about it, selfishness. Selfishness. You say, well, I've worked all day. I come home. I want supper ready, blah, blah. Well, in the world we live in, she's worked all day too. She got up before you did, got the kids ready, got them on the bus, made their lunches. Then she went to work. That's where we live. Fix your own glass of tea, dude. Are your arms broke? Selfishness. If you want to put yourself in a financial situation where your wife has to work, don't expect so much out of it. It's your fault. She's been at work all day.
Amen.
Boy, it got quiet.
Amen.
I'm just saying that's the world where we live in, and we need to adapt to it.
Amen.
It wouldn't hurt you to throw a load of clothes in the washer.
Right.
Half you men probably don't know how to cut it on. You're looking for the pull start on the side of that thing. Where do you put the gas in it? Amen. I'm almost done. I'm trying to quit. Preacher said one time a man went to the hardware store and he bought a microwave. He brought the microwave home and he set it down on the kitchen counter and he stuffed his dirty blue jeans in the microwave. He put some washing powders in it, shut the door and cut it on. Next day, he takes the microwave back to the hardware store and said, I need to return this. They said, what for? He said, it won't wash my clothes. They said, sir, it wasn't designed to wash your clothes. Do you get it?
Yeah.
She wasn't designed to wash your clothes. She's designed to be your helpmeet.
Amen.
I'm not saying a wife shouldn't wash clothes. She ought to.
Amen. That's
she ought to cook. Sure to be a homemaker. But don't be so selfish that you put such demands on your wife that you make a home a place of stress. Next point, and I'm done. The top three I deal with, enemy of sexual sin, enemy of selfishness. Number three, the enemy of stress. People just wigging out. That's the top three that I deal with personally as a pastor. People just about to lose it. Let me give you some scriptures and we'll go to the house. Write these down somewhere. I'm going to pause just a second. I ain't going to turn to all of them. I know what time it is. Write these down. Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 5. I'm going to show you why we've got so much stress at home. Listen, a lot of this other stuff is because of this. When you get stressed out, you start looking for a release somewhere else. Y'all okay? Psalms 37:5. Did you write that down? Listen carefully what it says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You better learn to put this stuff on Him, because you're not meant to bear it, and you can't bear it. We've got people in our church that are so financially strapped that it's all they can do just to keep it together. You better figure out how to give that thing to God. Let me ask you a question. Can you fix it? Then why bust your marriage up over it? Husbands and wives, quit arguing about the money.
Amen.
You're a team. Do the best you can with what you've got. I used to put so much pressure on her, she did our bills. All I did was work day and night. And then I'd want some money to do something, to go fishing or to put gas in my boat or buy a rod and reel or whatever. Go to Bass Pro Shop. I'd want a little extra money, and she'd say, "We don't have it." And I'd blow up and start yelling at her. Sound familiar to anybody? Bless God, I work like a dog. I need $20. You better. One day, my wise little wife took the checkbook and all the bills, and she said, "Now," she says, "I need $20. I said, "We ain't got it." She said, "Bless God." No, she don't. And I started dealing with that finances thing, and I thought, wow. I didn't know all this added up like that. I didn't know Levi ate that much. Then I began to feel bad because of the stress I had put on her. Man, the world is tough enough to fight without us loading stress on one another. Psalms 55 and verse number 22. Psalms 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Watch this. And He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. How about that? These are some scriptures you need to write down and go to when you're about to come undone. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 16, verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This is where stress is. This is where stress is. It's between your ears. It's in your mind. Amen. That's where it starts. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. We're done. The Bible said, be careful for nothing. That's talking about worry, people. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Watch this. And that means what has just been said is going to be connected with what's about to be said. It means because of what we just said, this is the reaction of what we've just read. In other words, verse 7 is only here because verse 6 is there. If it weren't for verse 6, there'd be no 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The conservation of the home. If you think for one second the devil doesn't want to bust up your home, you got another thing coming. Put some guardrails in place. Hey, men, be the protector of your home with the help of God. Remember, the Lord builds the city, the Lord protects the city, but you've got to give Him leeway to do it. You've got to ask for His direction. You've got to ask for His guidance. Let's stand our feet this morning. Brother Todd, y'all come if you would. Thank you. Thank you so much. Listen. I know exactly what time it is. But we've crammed a whole lot into this service. And I appreciate everything that was done on my behalf. But this is the most important part of this day. It's not only that you hear the preaching, it's what you do with it. As they begin to sing, this should be a time where a husband takes a wife by the hand. I don't know of a marriage that doesn't need prayer. Let's bow our heads this morning all over the house. Message this morning really had nothing to do with salvation. But then again, it has everything to do with salvation. Because you just can't do it without Him. I just got to ask if there's somebody here today. You don't know for sure if you died right now, heaven would be your home. I'd like to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, I won't embarrass you, wouldn't come to you. Just want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless your heart. If anybody else. How about this? Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I realize how bad the devil wants my home. Please help me pray that God would put a hedge of protection about my home and family. Just slip up your hand all over the building. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you today for a good day. Thank you for 19 years, God. Lord, I pray you'd give us 19 more. And Lord, if the next 19 are as good as the first one was, Lord, I can hardly wait. But Lord, thank you for these families, every home that's represented here today. Lord, I pray, God, that this is going farther than the ears. I pray it's making it to the heart. Lord, I pray, God, that you would protect our homes and our families, Lord, from the devil and from divorce and, Lord, all the evils, God, that would desire to affect our lives. Lord, I pray for those that may be here this morning not sure if they died today, where they'd spend eternity. I pray, God, you'd help them. And Father, have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.